Prime Day is coming July 16th and 17th, with epic deals exclusively for Prime members. You'll feel like you just won an award.
Oh, wow, I didn't even prepare a speech. I'd like to thank my family for always needing stuff. Also, Sam, my delivery guy, for bringing all my awesome deals so fast. You're the man, Sam!
Shop deals on electronics, home, and more this Prime Day, July 16th and 17th.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
All right, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com is live. Tickets are available for all of our road trips this year. Just go to 49ersRushRoadTrip.com, click here for tickets. Brings you to our landing page here, and you can see all the events that we're doing. And so once you pick an event, you just click on 49ers Bucks, scroll down. You can see our pre-party. You can see our tailgate. You pick what you want to do there. And right now, the prices are as low as they're ever going to be. They only go up. So we got early bird pricing till we sell a certain number of tickets. You can check out there. You get a QR code ticketing site, which we built ourselves, which I'm so excited about. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Go party with the faithful.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is Tuesday, which means greatness, because I am here with the one, the only, the legend with the coolest shirt I've ever seen. What's up, Wade? How we doing, man? Oh, look at him flexing on the shirt. For those of you who can't see, it's the cap shirt. Over the, I love that freaking shirt so much. I'm such a big Colin Kaepernick fan. I know we just like pissed off a lot of people. I don't give a damn. I love Colin Kaepernick, man. Ah, yeah. Love that dude.
But John, it's good to be here. It's good to be back. I haven't looked at 49er. Well, I did. I got happy when I saw the picture of Kyle Shanahan, the three amigos at the wedding. You know, remember three amigos?
Oh yeah, I got the whole thing. Could
classic
it be
movie.
El Guapo?
Yes,
I'm mad at me, but perhaps because the lady chooses to sleep in the dungeon beside your bed.
That's a classic movie, super underrated, doesn't get the love that it deserved, but definitely grew up in the 80s. Watched that movie 115 times for sure.
Yeah, so good. But yeah, Shanahan's looking, you know, I made the joke. Ocean's 11 reboot looks like crazy. Yes. And I wasn't the first one to make it. And so okay. I had to pull it down because I'm not even original. I didn't steal it. I'm not smart enough to steal jokes or content. I'm just not clever enough to come up with original content. It's what it is. But yeah, it's weird. Christian McCaffrey gets married. Not really a lot in the news world. I will say this. And Wade, I don't know. I was looking. So yesterday I was at the gym. I was struggling. And I was like, all right, I'm going to listen to a podcast. So I opened up my podcast feed. And it was six straight Brandon Ayuk episodes from Niners content creators.
Yeah.
I was like, man, I ain't listening to that.
I'm not going to lie. I'm kind of Ayuked out. I'm Ayuked out. Like, literally. Like, I'm Ayuked out. It'll happen when it happens at this
point.
There
we go. And I'm glad that it's being covered by somebody. And if I am going to listen to somebody, I'm listening to Wade, as always. But
that's
about it. Now, I want to say thank you to everybody that showed up. What's up, Matthew? Hashtag CC. And today's episode, Bobo, I'm glad that you have showed up because I put out the bat signal for you, Bobo, and you answered the call. This is a graded Shanahan episode. We're going to go through the resume since he's arrived here, and we're going to attribute a grade. We're both former teachers. We can do this. A+, A-, B, whatever. And you guys can throw that up in the chat as well. And I got to give credit to my man, Ginger Jesus, over on Twitter. he reached out to me and said, you know, I'm curious to know what you and Wayne think about this. He put up a poll. How would you grade Shanahan? And so that's kind of where this episode got started. So shout out to him. He's known as the Kyle Juszczyk touchdown checker during the season. Ginger Jesus in the offseason. Always does great work. So Bobo, I appreciate you because Bobo's still a little upset, as a lot of us are. He comes up and he goes, I got to criticize Kyle Shanahan for being a choker without getting blocked today. Bobo, we ain't going to block you. We love you, man. He says, Lombardi blocked me for saying as much. Your accomplishments and wins mean nothing if you don't deliver a ring. That is definitely one side of the sports argument. A lot of the old hats that I talk to, it's a ring or nothing. And then I'm like, well, why do you watch the regular season games? Why do you watch the wild card round? Why do you watch the divisional round? Why do you watch the NFC Championship? It's ring or nothing. Turn your damn TV off until the Super Bowl. Am I crazy on that one?
Nah.
There we go. This is what we need. This is what we need.
It's not a stupid argument. A lot of the older faithful have been waiting, you know, and we've been this close, close this twice with Kyle Shanahan, close with, you know, other coaches as well, and winning, you know, that sixth Lombardi. Like, it's tough, right? And so I'm not mad at them. Like, at this point, Some fans just want to see the ring. We could win as many games as we want, but if you don't win the big one, what's the point? Now, the other side of the argument is, well, he did make the 49ers relevant again. And he did it from scratch. I don't know how, you know. I don't know if you remember, though. We literally had to gut out. We had guys retire. We had to gut out the team. We had to overpay players. We had to do. And going into year eight, I feel like the 49ers, Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch, that era, that campaign, they've built somewhat the infrastructure of the dynasty, and they just got to get over, you know, 5 minutes. I look at the Super Bowls, and we lost games in 5 minutes. It's like 5 minutes left. We couldn't, like, really hold on. Maybe 6 minutes. At the end of the day, we lost these games in the fourth quarter. We go in the fourth quarter with leads, and we lose. So I get why the faithful want to criticize Kyle, and that's fair. Like, Kyle should be criticized as well as he should be acclimated and awarded for what he's done here in San Francisco or Santa Clara, whatever you want to call us. But at the end of the day, I get it. I get both sides of the argument. I'm probably the worst person to have this argument with.
I was going to do a solo show, and I was like, no. I need this. And because I know, like, here's my favorite thing about conversations and why the John and Wayne show is my favorite is because, like, most of my shows are solo and I just talk, Mr. Solo Dolo. But whenever I'm with you, like, I listen, you know what I mean? And so I want to change my opinion. And I'm not trying to belittle the fact that a championship doesn't matter. That's not it at all. The pain is real. John Chapman hurts. John Chapman is in pain, has been for 30 years. That is a real thing. But at the same time, I don't know, even being a part of it as a coach, like, we would sit around and look, do what you got to do to get into the playoffs. From there, you do your best. Hopefully the ball bounces your way sometimes and some things go your way, because golly, man, you got to play against people like Patrick Mahomes. Like,
it's tough. It's just tough. Kyle Shanahan has one problem, and it's him. He gets in his own way and he gets in his own head. You ever did something and you knew what you needed to do, but you overthunk it? I made that up, you know, like, you overthought the process of how to get it done, or you ever prepared for a test and you just knew the right answer, but you was like, nah, that can't be it. That's too easy. That question was too easy. This can't be it. So you over second guess yourself. Never second guess yourself. That's what Kyle Shanahan does. And it's okay. Because I can't blame Kyle for the loss, you know, the losses in the Super Bowl. I can't blame him, but he does have to take some type of accountability for not being able to adjust, adapt on the fly, call the right play, whatever. That to me, that's his biggest issue. And I feel like, you know, year eight and year three or two and a half of this quarterback that they drafted in Brock Purdy, I said two and a half because he didn't play his first full season as a rookie, I think that trust, I think Kyle has to say, here's my trust card, go out there and play quarterback. Like, I think if he does that, he'll start to be accepted a lot more, because I'm okay if we lose games, especially if we lose them and trying to win them, if that makes any kind of sense. But to lose games when you're playing it safe, like, that's not going to win. Not against a guy like Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, which that photo confirmed 49ers Super Bowl win. That mustache, that's the Reid stash.
Oh,
that's what I got out of the photo. You get what you get out of it. I got the Reid stash. Reid stash wins Super Bowls. Kyle Shanahan needs to keep that, rock that for the season. Don't shave, Kyle.
There we go. Jack says reminds her of Weekend at Bernie's.
Classic movie. Another classic 80s movie, man. Another classic 80s movie. Funny as hell, too. Funny.
All right. Let's do this, okay? Bobo, appreciate the super chat, my friend. He says, I have a hard time forgiving Shanahan for blowing double-digit leads.
Not mad at him.
Twice late in the game of the Super Bowl. Respect. Countless Pro Bowlers, all pros play. Now, here's another thing. It's easy to lump the two Super Bowls together. It's easy to do that. And, like, the whole choking, whatever else, and all that stuff, that's fine. The 49ers outscored the Chiefs in the fourth quarter in overtime. Like, they scored 12. We scored. Oh, sorry. Yeah, it's 12-12. My bad. We tied them. So, like, it's not like he fell off a cliff at the end of the game. The third quarter was where he struggled in the second Super Bowl. The fourth quarter is where the implosion happened the first time. So, there are different ways. The one common denominator is the play call, it abandoning the run in the third quarter. And then I think, again, Patrick Mahomes, like, do you not just step back and say, like, Patrick Mahomes is the best player in the NFL, the best position? It's not even close.
Oh, yeah. It's not even an argument. You can't even argue about that. Like, he's the best player in the NFL. Here's my thing next to Trent Williams. Here's my thing, though. Like, at the end of the day, I just feel like when you play it safe, you lose. You got to play to win, man.
Yeah.
Like, and this is why Bobo
play to win.
You
the
play
game.
The game. That's why Bobo's pissed. Bobo, stay pissed.
You should
be pissed off.
Stay pissed.
Literally, because we cannot continue to play to lose. And you're right. This Super Bowl was 10 times worse than the first Super Bowl 54 with Kyle Shanahan. Because now, when you look at this team, it's all pro, Pro Bowl. I can't even say Pro Bowl anymore. It was just all these phenomenal players. And we lost to one guy and a coach and a defensive mind. Like, literally. Just think about it. So, it's not all on Kyle. Because I can't blame Kyle for letting Chris Jones go free. But I can blame Kyle for not allowing Brock Purdy to be Brock Purdy. Like, that to me, like, I don't get that. Like, Brock is looking dead in front of him, and he throws the ball. He could have just threw it there. It's just a hike. Boom. Wide open Brandon Ayuk touchdown. But the play was to go to Juwan Jennings, and I'm not going to reflect on it. And I'm just saying, even with the guy in my face, you lofted up. We watched Brock, but then you got to go back to the times where Brock threw it across his body for touchdowns and Kyle Shanahan cursed him out. You got to look at those things. And I just feel like, Kyle, take the training wheels off. Let Brock Purdy be Brock, man. Like, we can't keep having the same conversation, John. And to me, whatever you want to call that, narcissistic, egotistical, controlling, whatever you want to label that is, that's Kyle's issue. So maybe he's growing up. Maybe the stash.
Oh, there we go. I saw the Andy Garcia. Hey, that's what I thought. I thought he looked like Andy Garcia.
Oh, no, I got
well.
You. I get the Andy Garcia stat. Yeah. I get it. I get there the mobsters. Trust me, man. I get it.
He wants to be. You know, Kyle's points, all of his friends. Like, there's a lot of that to it.
I had somebody on my Facebook say, Kyle Shanahan should not be fraternizing with his players. And I was just like, well, dude, for one, they're like all damn near the same age. Two, at the end of the day, the Shanahans and the McCaffreys go way, 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 way back. Like, it's a family thing. What's the problem him being there? I don't get
no
it.
Issue. Now, let's do this. Corey, I love this. Thank you for the super chat. I want to put out a couple. I want Wayne to put out a couple. Corey says, what are the top five traits of a leader? I want to adapt this a little bit, Corey, to a coach. I think that'll help a little bit.
Yes. Yeah,
what are the
different.
Top five traits for a coach, in your opinion? How many does Kyle exemplify? So my thing as a coach, I would always say this, and this was said to me. I don't remember who was the first to say it to me, but whenever I was talking to my coaches, I would always say, if we don't give our players an advantage on the field because we are here, we're not doing our job. We need to find somebody else who can. What is the advantage that Kyle creates? We've had a top five offense nonstop since this dude's been here and got adequate talent. It's the Kyle Shanahan like advantage is very clear. This offense is his. He's lost every single assistant coach ever. Like, doesn't matter. It just gets better and better and better. So that's one for me. I'll give you a little bit more time to think of something. But also, too, culture and tone setter.
Good point. Those are two great ones.
Like, we culture practice is harder than everybody. What's everybody say when they come to the 49ers and they're a free agent?
This ain't no joke. They're like, yeah.
They practice.
Yeah.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Well, actress Katherine Heigl, who saved over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says they've done a lot of research and they've come up with the idea, you want to help dogs' health, you got to help their food. So they've decided to come together and create something called Superfood Complete. It's made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Now, I got to be honest with you, Lucy, our French bulldog, she's a picky eater. A lot of times we can't get her to eat very often. It's just the way she is. She's spoiled. It's what it is. We sprinkled just a little bit of Badlands Ranch on our old food just to kind of mix before we made the transition. That's not an issue any longer. She goes right for it. She doesn't wait. She enjoys it. The health benefits, all those different things are there just because it's healthier food. So if you want your dog to experience these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com/49ers. That's BadlandsRanch.com/49ers. Get 50% off your regular priced order and a 90-day money-back guarantee. BadlandsRanch.com/49ers and get your dog that food today.
Prime Day is coming July 16th and 17th with epic deals exclusively for Prime members. You'll feel like you just won an award.
Oh, wow. I didn't even prepare a speech. I'd like to thank my family for always needing stuff. Also, Sam, my delivery guy, for bringing all my awesome deals so fast. You're the man, Sam!
Shop deals on electronics, home, and more this Prime Day, July 16th and 17th.
I am so excited to announce our new platform launched, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going. But the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers, and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, Ayuk, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101? You want to learn scheme? Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com, sign up, join the community, and plus we got a 7-day free trial. So we talk
with
about practice
and with the new CBA, like, and we think our team doesn't practice hard, but Kyle, who's the greatest manipulator of all time, I'm sorry, hands down, number one manipulator. If he will take a rule, Kyle can be my defense attorney if I get into some shit, like literally, because he can take the law and flip it and make it work. He could find a loophole. That's what Kyle does with the rules. That's go back to that to the rules of the overtime in the Super Bowl. Kyle is he's a genius. For me, a couple of things. You gave me two. I'll try to give you two, and we could try to come up with the last one together or something, like see if we in sync
like
or
that.
Something. But for me, you got to be a risk taker.
Ooh.
And, you know, and the reason why I say that is because everything doesn't go according to plan. So at some point in your game plan, You got to factor in a small percentage of taking risks. And that doesn't mean just go for it on fourth downs or whatever. And what did we see in the Super Bowl? We got a trick play to get our offense going, to get a touchdown. And I'm like, oh, shit, there's snaps. If this is the type of Kyle Shanahan we're going to get, there's no way the Chiefs are going to be able to capitalize on it. But then it got boring. It got stale. The offense got stale. Think about it. We stopped running the ball. And so, like, you got to find the right moments, the right times to take risks. If it doesn't work, find another time. Just but be a risk taker. Live on the edge a little bit. You can still have your plan, but be willing to go off a script every other now and then. And I think the second thing for me is when things just don't go your way, you got to take accountability. And I feel like our coach struggles with accountability because he right. He be right. Like, if this guy would have did this because this guy forgot to do this and this guy would have did that, it would have been touchdown. And you know what? He's right. But that didn't happen. And so I would love to see when coaches take accountability. I feel like they would gain so much more from their players. I think the fans would be like, yo, that's a real dude, right? You know what I'm saying? Even if he didn't make the mistake, he owned the mistake, you know? What we see Brock do, he takes accountability for the good always and the bad, you know? It would be cool to see Kyle Shanahan. That's one thing to me with leaders. Leaders take the risks and leaders take the blame, period. Yeah.
The one thing that I do like a little bit is he started to say, I got to call better plays, I got to coach better. He won't say that play was my fault. Like, that's not going to happen. You know what I mean?
Right.
And he's, so
again, he finds a loophole.
He's tipping his toe in there a little. But yeah, that's an issue.
But that's a way of him taking accountability in his own words. But that ain't it.
I'm just going back to my own experience and like things that are burning in my head as like good or bad coaching. One of my first years as a coach, we had a DC. We were getting blown out by a very good team. And we go to the sidelines. And here's what he said. Like, he draws it up on the board. He's like, this is what they're doing. This is what we're calling. We can't call it any better than this. You just got to go out there and execute.
Execute.
And then they scored again on us, and they scored again on us. And he kept saying, I can't do anything else. Y'all have to. And at the end of the day, I was just like, dude, change something. Like, dude, that's great. You're winning on the board. That doesn't translate. Like, at some point, you've got to do what you got to do to get it stopped or to whatever. I was a defensive guy, but like, that's cool. You won on a chalkboard. Awesome. Go play Madden. This ain't Madden.
Every offense needs to have an annexation of Puerto Rico. Like, you just need that play call in your book. You can have your own derivative of it, your own version of it, but that play call just needs to be in the book. I don't care when you do it. It just needs to be there, because when stuff isn't going the way you planned it, you got to find a way to get things going. Kyle Shanahan's offense is all about rhythm. Yeah. When the rhythm is the base and the base is you need them all, but the rhythm is key. Without rhythm,
and Shanahan, he's a big time rhythmic play caller.
Super, bro. Yeah. Like, if we did everything is based off of rhythm. It's great to have a great Brock Purdy. It's great to have a great Brandon Ayuk, Deebo Samuel, George Kittle. Yeah. Them guys could be as great as hell. If the rhythm is off, none of them will be great. None of them will be great. And so if the rhythm is off, that's the issue. And so Kyle has to find a way to figure out to make sure, you know, you simplify stuff and you get the rhythm going. Because once they get into a rhythm, it's almost kind of hard to beat the 49ers. Like, once that juice start flowing, no pun intended, it's kind of tough.
Yeah. I like Papa J. I feel like this is kind of the fifth one. Every player that goes through Kyle Shanahan's system leaves. They are always a better player. He then put out there, except for maybe Jimmy G. But yeah. It's improvement, man. It's what it is. And I want to say thanks to all the ladies that are in here, man. We got Sid. We got Jax. I saw Vicky Morgan, you know, little sis in the house. We got Felicia. We appreciate you guys. I know that this, you know, is usually a male dominated whatever, but I just want to let you know, you guys incredible, and we really appreciate y'all. Now let's do this, because I we started with Bobo. Let's just keep this Bobo train rolling. because he kind of, you know, saw the other side a little bit. And he says, I'm proud of all the accomplishments of this team currently. I really am. I enjoy beating the Rams and Seahawks regularly, but their head coach delivered when it mattered most. So let's do this. Let's transition a little bit. Let's go through the positive resume that is Kyle Shanahan. Yeah, there's some issues there, but that's okay. Here's what Shanahan's done since he's shown up in 2017. 7 seasons. 3 division titles, 8 playoff wins, second most in the NFL during that time. Only the Chiefs have more. They have 14. We have 8. We have never lost in the wild card round or divisional round since Shanahan's been here. And Shanahan has taken the 49ers. When he got here in 2017, the 49ers had the 4th most playoff wins. Now we're number 1 in the NFL. We have the most. 2 NFC championship wins, 3 NFC championship appearances in 4 years. He's 64-51 combined record. And you remember 2017, 2018, 2020 were bad years.
They were bad years, man.
Bad years. 4 top 5 offenses, 4 top 5 defenses since he's been here. 4 10-win seasons, but 0-2 in the Super Bowl.
Ooh.
That, and again, you got to carry the good with the bad. But an 8-4 playoff record is unbelievable.
Like, yeah, but that's 2 of those losses are Super Bowl losses.
You got to get there.
100%, but the weight of the Super Bowl. Because think about it. You win a Super Bowl, the weight is super high, right? So the weight got to remain the same even if you lose. Does it make him a bad coach? Does it make him bad, period? Bad guy, bad man, bad boy? Maybe a bad boy. But it doesn't make him bad. You know what I'm saying? Great movie, too, by the way. My point is, I just feel like you got to keep the weight high. And that's why we're on opposite ends with Kyle Shanahan. Now, I'm sure you got other stuff you want to get into with the show, but you know, I just feel like Kyle Shanahan has been a godsend. And it can be a lot worse. We can be irrelevant, and I know relevancy isn't everything. But we're competing on a high level. And if you look at what Kyle Shanahan, we talk about all these accomplishments, right? And this is crazy because I'm the first to criticize Kyle Shanahan after every game. I think I'm the only person on Nitty Gritty Niners that will find where he needs to improve every single week. People get mad at me for doing it.
It's not who you is.
Right. So at the end of the day, but I got to give the man his credit when credit is due. Because the one thing you mentioned is he loses coaches every single year. He's probably like, I'm talking defensive coordinators, offensive coordinators, and he's got to reinvent, kind of like, not reinvent the wheel, but make sure that everybody, again, especially the coaches, are on the same page. Because we've seen what it looks like. Hey, my man, what it look like when the coaches aren't together? Now, people criticize Steve Wilkes, fine, but remember the year before. When we lost guys, coaches weren't even on the same page. It took a few weeks for the team to kind of gel. We're not even talking about that. You know what I'm saying? Going into 2024, will the coaches take a long time to get together? So Kyle Shanahan, I think, does a great job with his coaches. I think it comes down to who he trusts. And I think Kyle trusts coaches until they screw up. And then he kind of, what's the word? Micromanages it. And I think that's
he's a micromanager. He films every meeting.
And I think that
Big brother.
I think that, though, in a stint can be what hinders him in the long run. Because when you get to the Super Bowl and you pull out the micromanaging card, that's probably why Kyle Shanahan can't win the big game. And why players, because look, think about it this way. The defense that you're playing against knows your ins and outs because they've been watching you all year, and they're going to know if you're going to go left, if you're going to go right, if you're going to go up the middle. They just kind of know. So Kyle has to find a way to continue to be innovative in those moments. And if he trusts his coaches, then I think he'll see a lot more success when it comes down to, you know, this is why I miss a guy like Mike McDaniel. Because I felt like he trusted Mike McDaniel when it came to running certain running plays at an extent, because we've seen Mike McDaniel get pulled from running in the Super Bowl, right? We've seen him get pulled from running. So at the end of the day, like, I just think Kyle Shanahan has to just find a way to get over that. Like, I'm going to trust you If it works, it works. And let me just say this, John. Do it in the regular season. That way, if it don't work, you can fine-tune it. Like, you know?
Part of me just says, like, who's going to be developed enough as a coach to develop the trust that won't get hired away? Yeah, like Chris Forster, maybe. But, like, if there's a young, upcoming, budding coach, they gone. Like, that's Bobby Slowick. That's Mike McDaniel. That's LaFleur. That's gone.
And then you see them supersede. Because especially on the offense, this is how great Kyle Shanahan is offensively. Because when his offensive guys leave,
they do well.
They do well. And when you look at Bobby Slowick, they get a kid like CJ Stroud and they don't skip a beat. And so then it's just like, dang, like, why are we not? That's our offense. They didn't even have a Christian McCaffrey. They had to use two running backs last year. So even in that, they found Dave Singletary. Like, remember him? Like, I'm just saying, they figured it out.
Yeah.
Nobody should be able to do what we do offensively. There should never be a brain fart slow moment because of the capability of the weapons that we have. I just feel Kyle has to unleash the dragon.
There we go, baby. There we go. I like it. I like it. I'm going to dye my hair blonde.
Yes. All right. Platinum, platinum.
All right. Corey Soto, let's get back to this question. Then I want to do, I want to hear your grade for the Shanahan era so far. I'll give mine. I want everybody else to put yours in the chat. What do you grade the Kyle Shanahan era since he showed up in 2017? A, B, C, plus, minus, whatever. Corey says this. Thanks for the super chat again. There's a list of players who were not better after they left Kyle. My number one criticism of Kyle as a coach is he doesn't know how to develop players. Mm. I don't know, man. You look at the roster, it's full. Trent Williams was his best with us. Jimmy Garoppolo was his best with us. Christian McCaffrey was his best with us.
I just think some players just can't be developed, and that's okay. Let's just rewind, Corey. Just look at it from a different perspective if you can, because I don't know why I do this, but I kind of see you bring in guys, you draft guys, and you're hoping you have an inkling of them being able to fit your style, your system, right? And some guys just are bad fits. You ever buy a pair of jeans that you didn't try on, but it's your size?
My thick old legs, dude, that don't work.
But do you get what I'm saying? They make so many different types of size 40 jeans and cuts and brands. They all don't fit the same. And I think when you draft a player, you're thinking you're going to get this type of style of wide receiver. And when he gets into the thing, he struggles learning the playbook. Or he's not a great blocker. Or he's not this, or he's not that. And even though you might have saw inklings of that, like, learning this system is ridiculously hard. If Deebo Samuel in year, six, continues to say how hard it is, that lets you know how hard the system is. And we've watched Deebo excel to all pro, right? One of the two 49er players, maybe, and maybe Kyle Juszczyk, you can say, and Trent Williams, I mean, far as skilled players, that have made all pro. Christian McCaffrey, Deebo Samuel, and Kittle. George Kittle. And I was going to say Kyle Juszczyk, so maybe three or four. But that's how hard it is. So you can't say that all these guys don't develop. Some guys just don't develop, and it's okay. You move on from those guys. You send them to different teams, and you see if they can fit those systems. And if they do, cool for them. Maybe they just fit the system. Some guys just don't fit the system here. But the guys that do, the guys that are willing to adapt, the guys that are able to learn it, Kyle has produced several all pros. That's tough.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
All right, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com is live. Tickets are available for all of our road trips this year. Just go to 49ersRushRoadTrip.com, click here for tickets. Brings you to our landing page here, and you can see all the events that we're doing. And so once you pick an event, you just click on 49ers Bucks, scroll down. You can see our pre-party. You can see our tailgate. You pick what you want to do there. And right now, the prices are as low as they're ever going to be. They only go up. So we got early bird pricing till we sell a certain number of tickets. You can check out there. You get a QR code, ticketing site, which we built ourselves, which I'm so excited about. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Go party with the faithful.
I like it. So, Wade, here we go. Give me your grade. Kyle Shanahan, 2017 to now, the whole everything. What do you give him? One letter grade. I want to hear it. I'll give mine, and then we'll go through some of the comments here.
Yeah, man, look, I like Kyle Shanahan. It's a B+, A- for me. You know, 89 to 91 in that area. I like to give number grades numerically so you can understand. But when you look at what he did in 2017, when you look at the pieces that they decided to move on, when you look at the players that they have developed, and we're winning games and we're relevant and we've been to the Super Bowl, we probably would have been in the Super Bowl more than twice, but injuries happened. I think Kyle Shanahan is doing a fairly decent job. I just feel like there's one factor that he has to find a way to adjust. And if Kyle did some fine tuning, if Kyle did some reflecting in the mirror, we talked about those five quality leadership qualities of a coach. If he's watching the show, maybe he'll be like, you know what? I could fall back because I could trust this player now. Like, this player has proven to me they've earned my trust. And trust has to be earned. Some people are different when trust. Some people will give you the trust, and then when you lose it, good luck getting it back. Some people will just make you earn it. And I think that's Kyle. Kyle wants you to earn the trust. It's not given. You have to earn it. And so there's nothing wrong with that style or that method. But when it comes to having a quarterback, you can't baby the quarterback. You can't walk him, you know, you got to let him run, right? You know, because he's past crawling. He's past walking. He's ready to go. I think this is the season where we'll see a different mindset from Kyle Shanahan. So if we can win that Super Bowl, Kyle goes from A- to A+, just like that. That's how much weight that Super Bowl will have.
Just one.
So it's B+, A- for me.
Yeah, and you know, we go through, you know, I love all these. Bobo says D+. Rob says overall he's got to get an A. Javier, look at him. He broke it down. He says OC A, leadership B-, play calling A, clutch moments D-, team management B-, overall B. I like it. And I'll again, a couple more. I like this one, Rob D. Arthur Fonzarelli. Hey, there we go. I like that.
It's crazy though, right? Like, and I hate to see low grades for Kyle, but I respect him. But what what clutch moments did Kyle screw up on? And you get to the Super Bowl, I don't see him screwing up on any clutch moments. I feel like if Spencer Burford just knickknacks, blows a breath of fresh air,
anything.
It might have gave Brock a slither of time to complete that pass accurately to a wide open Juwan Jennings. Don't forget, he was wide open too.
I don't know, man. I mean,
but that would have been a
times we fumbled once. They got them all back. We got one back.
We got one back. I just, I know. Overall, clutch moments maybe, but I just feel like, you know, to me, the Super Bowls weren't clutch moments. But then again, there were two plays. I felt like his clutch moment plays weren't executed properly. So I feel like I can't blame him for that.
Dude, but offense walked off the field with the lead three times.
But as far as play calling, we can crucify Kyle Shanahan. Like, that's another topic. Like,
my biggest issue in the first Super Bowl was Raheem Mostert had zero touches first quarter, and then you abandoned the run late. In the second Super Bowl, you quit running the third quarter. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
Moments.
Right. Right. So, but to me, those wouldn't be clutch moments, because in the clutch, if Jimmy and Super Bowl 54 just
play hit call the, was perfect. Play call was perfect.
If he just hit the wide open George Kittle.
Play call was perfect. I'm with you, man. No, you're good. No, keep going. I'm sorry. I just,
play calling definitely would be. It's not even the play. It's consistency of the play calling. Like, right. Like, just. Run the goddamn ball. If we're a run team, why don't we run the ball? Help me understand. You 8 in the box, 9 in the box. I don't give a fuck. Just run it. Run the ball. You got 15 running backs. And I know one of them could beat 9 in the box. You don't use them, though.
I ain't mad about it. I'm with you. Cynthia, she says, B+, with a Super Bowl. Javier, B. Felicia, A-. I'm an A. Like, and I get it. And here's why. Let's transition to this. And real quick, Donald, this is a solid. He says, Bill Walsh is still a better coach than Kyle. Nobody disagrees with that.
Can't disagree with that. Hey, let me ask you this. Is George Seifert a better coach than Kyle Shanahan?
Yes.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
More wins than Bill Walsh.
I just wanted to make sure we're on the same page. But when we mentioned George Seifert, it's because he inherited Bill Walsh's team.
No, he didn't. They never won till Bill Walsh got there. That's... I am categorically in the George Seifert fan.
I just made John mad. He got red. Did you see John get red?
I'm always red, but I just got redder. I'm like the Hulk. What's your secret? I'm always red. But, like, no, George Seifert, the 49ers were not the 49ers till he showed up in 81 as the DC.
Defensive coordinator. Yes, sir.
And built the defense to be championship level. It was championship until he left. He still stayed championship level even after Bill Walsh. I'm not saying he's better than Bill Walsh, but I'm just saying Seifert doesn't ever get the credit.
Never.
The 90s starter pullover, and I am encapsulated. Mm-hmm. This is it. Seifert, mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I don't know how we got here, but.
I know how, but I won't remember.
Walsh,
remind you.
Seifert, giant gap. Shanahan, then Herbert. Herbert, Harbaugh. He's coaching. That's me. Do you agree?
I think those are my guy. I can't front though. I would have ran through a wall for Jim. Like Jim just made you feel like you would run through a wall. But as far as who's the better coach, it's definitely Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah. I mean, he's been here longer now, which is weird, but got way more playoff wins, built from scratch, whatever else. Anyway, now, so here's why I say A. Okay. Yeah, he's done everything but win a championship. You've got the best looking into 2018. You're the odds on favorite to make it back to the Super Bowl, whatever else. Now, here's my question. Let's say for some reason Kyle Shanahan's no longer on the 49ers for whatever reason. I don't really care. Who the hell, if you could have anybody, who would you replace him with? Moving forward, not just for 2024, not just for the next decade, if you could pick anybody, college, whatever, who are you picking?
That's a tough question.
I thought you were going to say Jim Harbaugh, which I don't think he would even.
No, he would never come back. He would never come back here. That's a tough question. I would pick you, John Chapman.
Oh, look at Wade.
I think you would be, one, a great player's head coach, right? Number two, you listen. Number three, you're not afraid to take risks. Number four, like, you just instill all these. You're a great guy. Like, you're a great orator. People will understand, like, where you're coming from. You break stuff down into simplest form. Not every player learns on the same level. I think that's Kyle's issue. That's why you got these coaches. That's why I said you got to trust your coaches. Kyle gets 1+1, and Kyle does it the hardest way possible. It's really simple. If you take this object and you add another object, and it's going to be two objects. But Kyle's like going to be like, yeah, well, the derivative of that plus minus the square root of that's not. And that to me is where I think a lot of the translation of the playbook gets screwed up. So I would go for you, man. I'm not just saying that because I'm on the show. I've known you for the past several years. I think you're a great coach. You find a way to lead people, follow.
Niners won't even let me tailgate. They won't even let me tailgate.
You know why?
Yeah, that's why.
I won't say it on your show, but I'll do it on mine because I don't care. But you know why.
It's what it is. We love you, 49ers. I like the answers in the chat. The first one's Prime. I'm the most anti-Prime coach in the world. I can't stand that human being. I know that's not a good take, but I love Prime, though.
He's going to turn players into dogs and I forgot the other word.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens again this year, just like last year. Flash in the pan. We'll see.
D'Amico,
Ben Johnson, I like. Mike McDaniel. My answer, Sean McVay. Like, he's the only coach that comes to mind that's like.
There's nothing I like about him.
I don't like him, but I do love the way he adapts everything. It changes everything. It gets the most out of players.
That's true.
I'm not saying I'd take him over Shanahan, but I don't have a problem with that. Andy Reid's he's too old and, you know, just all the felons and stuff. I want to be able to bring my wife and kids around the team without, you know, them being threatened. But it's what it is right here. Why the Prime dislike, man? I coached at Duncanville where he started his Prime prep thing and we shared field and I saw.
Oh, it's personal.
I saw what happens to high school kids that, anyway, I don't know. I'm always going to side with kids. And so him being at the college level is still a problem. He should be working with adults only, should not be allowed to work with children in my own personal whatever. Don't screw over kids, man. Simple. Very, very simple. But appreciate what he did. Amazing football player. And I know a lot of people love Colorado. It's what it is. I'm buying the Deons when they come out, the new freaking Diamond Turfs.
Absolutely.
Can't wait. Those are some of the coolest shoes ever. But I am not a Deon guy. Would not let him around my children ever. Sure as hell not coaching my kids. But let's transition. Let's go to part two. We've been doing this NFC West thing for a minute now, and this is like we're in Wayne's territory because today we're talking wide receivers, tight ends. We're going to go through the NFC West, all four. We're going to rank 1 through 4, and we're going to spend more time on the wide receivers than the tight ends because tight ends pretty obvious. It's what it is. So here we go. Let's talk.
I think John froze up. Guys can still hear me out there? Can I get a hell yeah? Man, I miss Stone Cold. Well, Nick says he can hear me, so I didn't know if I froze on John's end or if he froze on his end. So now that y'all gave me the hell yeah, I did to him. Yeah, it is. Ice cold. He's got a kind of refresh and come back in. It's probably gonna kick me out. But great job. That, am I smart? You know, we were talking about the tight end groups. You know, we gotta talk about, you know, I can't wait to rank the tight ends of the NFC West. Because y'all not going to like my ranking. Y'all not going to like my rankings. But I got to wait for John to get back. Because this is his show. And I want to make sure that he returns. We're still streaming live. We just wait for him to come back into the room. On top of that, who's your favorite? Other than George Kittle, who's your favorite NFC West tight end? Put it in the chat. I can't pull it up, but I can read it out loud. Who's your favorite NFC West tight end other than George Kittle? Because I think everybody thinks George Kittle's the guy. Like, he's the best damn tight end in football. You don't even have to argue it. I'm not going to argue with that. I'm not going to say Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce's not a tight end. He's a motherfucking wide receiver and a tight end body. But George Kittle is a tight end. Why? Because he blocks. Tight ends line up in line as well as outside. They can block, you know. But we're going to go through these tight ends. I have no other. Nick Nice says, I don't know. I'm going to give you one to keep your eye on. All right? I'm going to give you one. Arizona Cardinals, Trey McBride. Keep your eye. Vince, you are the mother freaking man. Felicia, I see you as well. I see you as well. Is Zach Ertz still in the NFC West? I thought he left the NFC West. But McBride is going to be a problem in the NFL. McBride is going to be a problem. There he is, man. There's my guy.
Ooh. Man, internet, shut down. That ain't good.
Nah. Comcast, we need $55 back, Comcast.
That's right.
Yeah, Xfinity.
I got AT&T, which I did not want, but it's the only place that gets reception in my house. Gotcha. Sorry about that. So I want you to continue on.
I was just having fun. I was asking them who's their favorite tight, who's their favorite tight end other than George Kittle in the NFC West. They couldn't use George Kittle. And we got a few Trey McBrides. We got one Higby. So people know about Ertz.
He's not there anymore.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought he went to the NFC East.
Look at Latu. Look at Latu.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not mad at that.
Nah, I ain't mad at that. Man, it's not a good. I loved Noah Fant coming out.
Get an 11% rebate at Menards. Rust-Oleum Stops Rust custom 5-in-1 spray paint lets you choose from 5 spray patterns with a twist of the dial. It protects indoor and outdoor metal and wood projects for long-lasting results and is available in more than 40 colors. Get started on your painting project at Menards, number one in customer satisfaction among home improvement retailers according to J.D. Power. For more information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Save big money at Menards.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I am so excited to announce our new platform launched, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going, but the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, Ayuk, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme? Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com, sign up, join the community, and plus we got a 7-day free trial. So
He did look good, but you know what? Noah Fant to me should have been utilized like a Travis Kelce. It's kind of like a wide receiver in a tight end body. And if Denver, wherever he went first, would have used him properly, that's when he was drafted by Denver, he would have been a lot better. And if Seattle sees the way we see it, maybe they'll utilize him like that.
There we go. So let's stick with tight ends, okay? So here's the tight end room for Arizona. Trey McBride is their starter. Elijah Higgins. They drafted Tip Raiman in the third round. Travis Volpe. There we go, Tip. So that's Arizona. Then we'll go with the Rams. Tyler Higbee, Colby Parkinson, was with Seattle. They brought him over. Davis Allen, you remember him out of Clemson last year?
Sure enough, dude.
And Neil Johnson, undrafted free agent this year. Then we got the 49ers, Kittle, Logan Thomas, Eric Saubert, Braden Willis, Cameron Latu, and then Mason Plyne, their undrafted free agent. Then we'll go Seattle, Noah Fant, Pharaoh Brown, A.J. Barner, fourth round pick this year, and Jack Westover, undrafted free agent. So, Wade, it's Kittle, then kind of everybody else.
Yeah.
Who's the worst tight end group?
I think it's Seattle. I think Seattle has the worst group.
Even with Noah Fant there.
I like the depth better on the Rams. So it was between the Rams and the Seahawks. But I think Higbee puts the Rams a little bit ahead of Seattle. I just do. If they would have kept my man Kobe, then Seattle would have been third.
Ooh, I like that.
You know what I mean?
Because and then Davis Allen's there too. Like they've got Bree.
Yeah, but we don't know. But if they would have kept Kobe, they would. That was a cool 1-2 combo that they could have took advantage of. But they just didn't know how to utilize their tight ends. But I feel like he's gone. So with him being gone, and I think he's with the Rams now, right? Yeah, right. The Rams are ahead of them. So that's my 4, Seattle, 3, Rams, 2, Arizona, because I think Trey McBride just might be top 5 tight end in the NFL this year.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I really like Elijah Higgins. I really like Tip Ryman. Like, I think that those three guys are really, really good. The difference is when you have an all-pro.
Right.
That's why I have the 49ers one. There's a lot of guys behind Kittle. Somebody's got to step up. Can Logan Thomas be what he was last year? Can Eric Saubert be that blocking guy? Can Willis or Latu step up, one of the young pups? Yeah, but Kittle's the difference. You put Kittle on any one of these teams, they're the number one.
Number one, hands down.
We'll see how that lasts. So I've got the same. Now let's spend our time right here on wide receivers. Oh, this is going to be fun.
It's going to be tough.
We're going to go team by team, okay? Let's start at Arizona alphabetical. Okay, 3 wide receiver starters for each team, and I don't like to put rookies in the starting lineup, but with Marvin Harrison Jr., don't have a choice.
No.
He's starting. He is their starter week one. Yeah, Marvin Harrison Jr., Michael Wilson, Greg Dortch, that's their 3 starters. Their veteran backup, Zach Pascal, Chris Moore, and they have Tajon Palmer, 6th-round pick this year, and Xavier Weaver, undrafted free agent. Talk to me about this Arizona wide receiver core.
Young core, but pretty good. Pretty solid. I know we don't know what Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to do, but we know what Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to do in the NFL. We know what he's going to do. We know what he's capable of. Number one wideout, got drafted by the Arizona Cardinals. But I like their top 3, man. A lot of people sleep on Michael Wilson, man, but I wouldn't sleep on him if he's healthy. That's a big target. You know what I'm saying? You just throw him up, just throw up the ball. Let him go get it. He took
Harrison and Wilson is 2 physical, big wide receivers.
And you got to make sure you got 2 physical size cornerbacks, like going mano a mano and getting rough with them. You know, if you're going to play on them on the line of scrimmage, try to jam those guys up. Those guys are big. Those guys are big. They're strong. So it's going to be interesting. But I like that starting 3. Greg Dortch is the utility guy, the guy they use out of the backfield, little guy coming out of the backfield. He can run the ball. He's their Deebo Samuel. That's how you want to look at him. He can do those things as well as get down the field. So I like Arizona's guys, man. I'm not going to sit there and say, and they got pretty good solid depth too from the bench. That's a pretty good room over there in Arizona.
Yeah,
still a lot of young guys, though. A lot of young guys that have got to prove themselves.
Well said. Well said. Next up, we're going to go to the Rams. Puka Nacua had one of the greatest years ever for a rookie wide receiver. Cooper Kupp, DeMarcus Robinson, those are their starters. The only veteran backup is Tutu Atwell, hasn't really done much. They draft Jordan Whittington, Longhorn, 6th-rounder, and they've got a lot of undrafted free agents. Drake Stoops, that's Stoops' kid at OU, Sam Wiggles, and J.J. Lapp, I think is how you pronounce it. But Rams, I mean,
they're two guys.
Get most out of these guys.
Those two guys, you know, it's hard to count the Rams out because no one knew Puka Nacua was going to do what he was going to do last year in the NFL. But Sean McVay did, right? Sean McVay did. They switched up the game plan when Matthew Stafford became a quick throwing team opposed to getting the ball down the field. Like the things we used to see when they had Van Jefferson and those guys, they switched it up. They got the quick release. Quick guys, they got it to Puka Nacua, and so he definitely had a tremendous rookie season. And so when you look at Puka Nacua and a healthy, oh my gosh, what's their other guy?
DeMarcus Robinson.
Nope, not him. Cooper Kupp.
Puka.
Yeah, a healthy Cooper Kupp. That's a strong room. That's a strong room. And you can't count out DeMarcus Robinson. That's another guy they can utilize. Tutu Atwell, I know you don't see much of him, but he's a quick guy that they can do end arounds and reverse plays and all that type of stuff to get the ball in his hands to where he's more dangerous because he's quick and fast. So they got a pretty good room. I don't think they have as much depth as the Arizona Cardinals, but I think their starters are better.
Yes. I love this. He says, Rob D says, Puka, Tutu, and Wiggles. Yeah, they got some cool names going on over there. But the talent's there. The depth is not there. But can they get one of these undrafted free agents to step up? We'll see. You know, Cooper Kupp has not been healthy.
No.
His past 2 years, we talk about Debo's injuries. That's not even close to what Cooper Kupp's been through. Yeah. Debo had more touchdowns last year than Cooper Kupp has had in 2 years combined. Anyway, now let's go to the 49ers. We know them the best, but their starters, Ayuk, Debo, and Juwan Jennings, all back. Chris Conley, Trent Taylor, the veterans, but then they go spend a lot of draft capital. First-round pick, Ricky Pearsall. Fourth-round pick, Jacob Cowan Jr. Still got Ronnie Bell and Danny Gray. We'll see if they make the 53 and what that looks like, but 49ers, help us. What is your overall take just on this 49ers state of the wide receiver room?
Tough room, right? Because we're trying to figure out who's going to crack this roster. Like, if we go six, who's going to be the top six? It's tough because whoever doesn't make it, you're hoping they make it to that practice squad. But there's going to be teams that's going to be picking up some of Kyle Shanahan's guys. So it's going to be tough. The Niners got a tough room. They got great depth. I like the veterans. We saw them come through, especially in the Super Bowl. They brought Trent Taylor back. I thought that was interesting. You could tell that they're looking to probably like enhance the special team, secure special teams with the new ruling and things like that. So we'll see how that pans out, if he's able to crack this roster. But we got a lot of young guys that are still trying to prove themselves. And, you know, with the Jacob Cowing and the Pearsall, those picks, man, this is going to be crazy. And a lot of people counting out Ronnie Bell and some of these other guys, man. It's going to be a great camp coming up in a couple of weeks, man. Great camp. So the Niners, to me, you know, they got a strong room. Those top three guys, I think, in my opinion, are the best three so far that we've talked about. We got the top three guys. Juwan Jennings, I'll take him over, you know, any one of those other three guys.
I like that. Well, now we go to Seattle, and I feel like they have an argument for best top three
here we
as
go.
Well.
I said
DK
so
Metcalf,
far.
Tyler Lockett, Jackson Smith and Jigba. Then you look at their backups, LaViska Shenault Jr., Dwayne Eskridge, Jake Bobo. They got a couple undrafted free agents, Hayden Hatton and D. Williams. Tough room, man.
Tough room. It's a tough room. Metcalf. I feel like Lockett is a little bit on the decline. We haven't seen much from JJ due to the injury last year. So to me, the Niners probably will have that edge. The consistency from the 49ers guys gives them, to me, the edge with the wide receiving room. But Seattle has a great group of guys. Like, they have a great group from starters to the depth. They have veteran depth. They have young depth. They have guys that make plays. So Seattle is a room when it comes to the wide receiver position that you don't want to sleep on, because you already know what DK Metcalf can do. He gets the ball in his hands. If he gets in front of you, he's gone. Luckily, the Niners have defenders that know how to defend him well, and they kind of make you, they kind of, you got to beat them with someone else. But yeah, that's a tough room, though. I'm not going to sleep. I'm not going to stun on the Seattle Seahawks.
So, okay, here's what I want to do. This is a little different. We've done top three. I want to know who your top five wide receivers are in this division off the top of your head. I asked Twitter this, and a little bit of debate going on. Do you want me to share mine, or do you want to go? How do you want to do this, Wade?
You can share yours, man. I feel like I got my top five in my
head.
It's tough.
And this
though.
Is just for 2024. Heading into 2024, who I think the best are, Puka Nacua is number one for me. With what he did with, you know, quarterback and all that stuff, 1,500 yards receiving. That dude did it versus everybody, including us. Ayuk would be two, Debo three, DK Metcalf four, Cooper Kupp five. That's my top five heading into 2024.
That's a great top five.
This wide receiver group is unbelievable. This division, it's second to none. There is no other division that has this many just all out stud wide receivers, but I don't know. It's pretty solid. How would you change any of those top five? Like, who's your one?
Yeah, I feel like, you know, me being, I guess you could call me a homer. Like, I like what Puka Nacua did, but I have this weird thing when wide receivers like just get off in the slot. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's just a mismatch, like, all season
long. I looked it up because somebody said something similar. Somebody told me, like, you can't put a slot in there.
Yes, you can, but
Puka's not even as, like, okay, Puka had 318 slot snaps last year, 719 out wide, like twice as many. And then I looked up Cooper Kupp, 505 in the slot, only 200 out wide. So
yeah, but yeah, what was his production though in the slot?
I don't know how.
Okay, never mind. So I'll get into that. But I just feel like his production was crazy. He was a lot of yak yards, in my opinion. Even if he did line up outside, so snaps is one thing. When was the production though? I just feel like when we saw Cooper Kupp, I mean, when we saw Puka Nacua go off, he was just catching the ball quick, running that line, and you couldn't bring him down. He was tough to tackle, so he's definitely a top five guy. But I don't know if I have him number one. I still feel like. I think Ayuk is the best receiver in the NFC West. I think Brandon Ayuk is number one. I think DK Metcalf is number two. It's just kind of like where I am with it. I don't know if I'm going to have Cooper Kupp in here because
last 2 years were rough.
They were rough. Can he come back? He should be able to, but what if his time is done in the NFL? Like, what if his time is done and he becomes what you just said? They have to utilize him in a slot. So I don't know if he's going to make my top five, but I know this is going to be unfair. I'm going to put Puka Nacua 3. I got Deebo 4. Okay. And here we go. I'm putting Marvin Harrison Jr. as my fifth guy.
There we go. He's that damn good. Aaron said he's going to be cracking the top five.
I didn't even see that. I'm telling you.
He's that good.
Listen, look, I know I don't like Kyler Murray. I don't like nothing about him. But he got a guy. I'm going to leave it at that. He's got a guy.
And we've seen him with DeAndre Hopkins where he'll just pepper the hell out of somebody, you know?
Forgot about that. He's got a guy. I'm not saying Marvin Harrison Jr. is D-Hop because D-Hop could win one-on-ones, hands down. It's just what he did, right? He still does. But Marvin Harrison Jr., big guy, big receiver, good speed, great speed. Can take the top off the D. He's that guy.
I would like to note, just for the people at home, this is another episode of the John and Wayne Show where Wayne openly praises players from the Ohio State.
I just forgot about that.
And Jax just signed off, but that's okay. Where's Peachy at? She needs to be on here.
Right.
But that's okay. That's okay. So, all right, let's step back. I love this, man. I love these conversations. Talk to me about who is the worst receiving group in the NFC West. Who's last for you? These are great teams, and why they might, you know, somebody's got to be number four in this group. They're still, I think, top half of the NFL. Maybe not one of these.
I think this is tough, right? Because it's either the Cardinals or the Rams.
You got to decide. I got mine. I'm not going to tell you mine until
I'm gonna go with the Cardinals because they're more unproven. Marvin Harrison Jr. hasn't done it yet. Michael Wilson is not a number one. And then it's blah, 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 blah. So Cardinals got to be the worst group, but that doesn't mean they won't be impactful this year.
Correct. Yeah, I'm with you there. I also had the Rams 3. If you're debating, I assume you're putting the Rams 3. But I have the Rams as a top 10 wide receiver group in the NFL. I went through and looked just briefly, like Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua. And DeMarcus Robinson's not a bad number three.
I was going to say, they stand out. But it's tough when you're going up against Ayuk, Deebo.
I think these are both top four wide receiver groups.
And people forget Deebo Samuel's like 100-something yards from a 1,000-yard receiver. And he missed several games.
Yeah, he had 12 touchdowns, 1,100 total yards. Like,
but just 1,000 yards. He almost had 1K and missed like three games, right? Yeah. So just imagine, he was literally like 130 something yards away. It's so crazy. Like, but number three. I'm gonna go Seattle 3.
Oh, you're putting the Rams above Seattle?
I think so, because it's something special about Puka and freaking remember I said if they could get Cooper Kupp back and he masterfully crafts in that slot, oh sugar. Like,
yeah, he stays healthy.
Yeah. That's a Maroon 5 sugar too. Like, oh snap. Oh,
I like it.
Yeah, I can't hit the note right now. But
that's
solid
album.
Yeah, it was. Actually it was.
So now you got 49ers 1. Is that correct?
I got 49ers 1, and I got Rams 2.
Yeah. There you go. I've got 49ers 1, Seattle 2, Rams 3, but close. And, yeah, I mean, gosh, how do you argue? The 49ers kept all their wide receivers.
Yeah.
And drafted one in the first round and fourth
round.
And kept everybody.
Yeah.
At least where
Which tells me that Kyle Shanahan is up to something.
We'll see. He wants his cake and eat it, too. He wants everybody.
I just think he's up to something with this plethora of wide receivers. I think Kyle Shanahan wants like a never-ending story. Great 80s movie. On the offensive side when it comes
Atreyu!
Sebastian.
I cried.
That dog had a deep-ass voice, too, by the way. Was that James Earl Jones? I just don't know if it was.
I don't know.
It had a deep voice.
I love it, man. Well, Wade, this has been a great show, as always. It's always a good time. And shoot, carrying the show whenever my internet went out. We got all kinds of 90s references.
There's Peachy. Peachy, I got to stop giving Ohio State player props. I don't know what's wrong with me.
It's just the Peachy. I'm telling you, man. No,
real recognizes real. Not during college, though.
Not during the season. Right now, you're okay.
Season. Yeah.
We're in peacetime.
Yeah.
Not for long.
Right.
All right, guys, that's going to do it. Wade, take us out of here, man. Fun show as always.
Guys, it's summertime. Listen, I tell you what, man, training camp is on the way. Stick around right here. Make sure your alerts are set to all. That way you don't miss an episode right here on the 49ers Rush. Stay strong, faithful. Till next week, we out, baby. Peace.
Prime Day is coming July 16th and 17th, with epic deals exclusively for Prime members. You'll feel like you just won an award.
Oh, wow, I didn't even prepare a speech. I'd like to thank my family for always needing stuff. Also, Sam, my delivery guy, for bringing all my awesome deals so fast. You're the man, Sam!
Shop deals on electronics, home, and more this Prime Day, July 16th and 17th.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.